on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is Invest Talk. Independent thinking, shared success. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Friday, August 8th, 2025 edition. Excited for this hour with you to close out this week. Very interesting week in markets. A lot to unpack as we close the week and head into the weekend. But this hour is dedicated to you. It's to your questions, to your concerns, whatever's on your mind. Don't hesitate to reach out with your question at 888-99-CHART. That's the main way that we help you become a better investor, bring you perspective and color and data so that you go into a decision with your eyes wide open. What might be right for one person may be wrong for another. So understand that as well. And that's why I try to give the pros and the cons of everything, because everything boils down to those factors. And it's up to you to decide what is right for you. Okay. That's what investing is about. What's the right risk versus reward for you, time horizon, the need for capital, savings habits, investment habits, etc. What strategy makes sense for you and your risk tolerance level, your personality, okay, and your experience level and your discipline. All this goes into how to invest correctly, successfully, over time, year after year. Okay, so that's what this hour is about. And we'll talk about the market performance in just a bit and then run down the show topics that we will cover through the hour. But first, as usual, we'll tackle this caller question now.
Hi, guys. Love the show. I have a quick question about ticker IAG, I'm Gold Corp. Let me know what you guys think. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Looking at IAM Gold. IAG is the symbol. And this is one of those names that throughout the years has been an underperformer compared to the broad gold mining indices. But as of late, it's been doing fairly well. I mean, gold miners in general have done fairly well. But if you look over basically since October of 2022, it's been outperforming the broader gold mining index. So that's good. But part of that is it's riskier. It's smaller, $4 billion market cap. But earnings are expected to go to $1.28 next year. From last year, only 55 cents. Okay, so over double in 2 years. Revenue last quarter was up 51%. Profits struggled a little bit, down 19%. But overall, this year, earnings are supposed to be up 53%. So I like that. I like its recent outperformance. And let me take a look at where its mines are. Okay, so they have one in Canada. Basically all in Canada, looks like. Okay, I like that. I like the, it's important when you're looking at gold miners, what jurisdiction they're in. Are they in a Western country with more stable governments? Or are they in West Africa, for example, where there's a lot more political volatility? Are they in Central or South America? Once again, more political volatility. So the fact that they are in Canada makes me feel a lot more comfortable. And the fact that they've started to outperform the broader index also makes me feel more comfortable. And this is to make $1.28 next year on a $7.50 stock. And if I look at the trends in the chart, still remains in an uptrend, like most gold miners. Okay, like most gold miners. But it's just stair-stepping higher. So I like it. I would continue. I would buy IAM Gold. Obviously, you know, we like the gold miners, and this is a pretty good one. Smaller, so it is riskier, but it's good. Okay. Thanks for the call. Now, our main focus point is about Social Security. Only 36% of Americans are confident about Social Security's future. Now, confident is kind of a general term. But we'll dig into the details. This is from an AARP survey. And we'll talk about the recent report of the Social Security Trust Fund and when it may run out, but what that means exactly, running out. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Also, forecasts. We're a little bit past the half point in the year, and it's been a up and down year, pretty volatile. And everybody likes to get a forecast, right? A lot of people listen to the show because they're looking for a forecast. But what I wanted to talk about more is the nature of forecasting from professionals like me and others on Wall Street, and how accurate they are, and how to digest those, right? Because, you know, and we say this all the time, you never want to take it as gospel, okay? Everyone's wrong to some degree. It could be a lot, could be a little, but we'll dig into that a little bit more and how to think about forecasts. And then lastly, the manufacturing sector. We have today is the first day where these new reciprocal tariffs are taking hold, and we'll get an update on what the manufacturing industry is doing currently. You know, how healthy it is, shall we say, in the first, 6-7 months of the Trump administration. 2.0. We also have voice bank calls sitting on cash, as well as VTV, Vanguard Value. And then we have some questions that came in via the comment section on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And of course, most importantly, will be your live calls. So I welcome your finance and investment questions right now. 888-99-CHART is always the number, but we're going to head to a quick break. Please remember, you can call right now and leave your question on the Invest Talk voice bank or talk to me live. If you're listening via the live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. And up next, I will comment on today's market activity.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
Wanted to get your take on W.W. Granger.
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
The issue, though, is really over the last decade or so, it's never maintained this level of profitability for a long period of time.
Commodities are incredibly volatile, so when the going is good, take some profit.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
My name is Mike. I'm calling in from Orange County, California.
And this is Lewis calling from Bolivia.
Let's go talk to Chris in Maine.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
First off, great show. I learned a lot from you too.
888-99-CHART. The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Let's go take a quick look at the markets today. Overall, we had another positive day to close out the week. And NASDAQ goes up nearly 1%, S&P up about 0.75%. When you look at the sectors, technology did the best, up about 1%. Financials and healthcare not far behind. Real estate was the worst performer, as well as utilities. And really, I was on the back of rates rising just a bit. So that was really across the curve, 3 to 5 basis points. And so you had bond proxies. Remember, real estate, REITs, utility companies, they tend to be bond proxies. So if bonds are going down, they also are pressured as well. So that's on the bond side and the sector side. The dollar index was down about 0.1%, so not a lot of movement there. Gold was up 1.1%, even on the back of the White House gold tariff update. It looks like they're going to tariff gold imports, so that certainly put a tailwind to gold prices. Bitcoin futures, though, were down 1.1%, and WTI was little changed. You know, the buy the dip narrative still is intact. The uptrend is still intact. I said for a while now that, I said starting about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I said August, September, probably a period where you get a bit more volatility seasonally. Markets overbought, sentiment was extreme. You saw that with a lot of the meme stocks really taking off. and that usually marks kind of a, at least a near-term sentiment extreme. So, but the recent sell-off certainly has been bought up pretty consistently throughout this week, but we're still not above the highs from last week. So it was just really a bounce back week overall. Nothing, I would say, super negative or super positive. It still remains, at least short term, kind of neutral. Obviously, medium term, you're still bullish. You're still in an uptrend. But I think the prospect of a modest pullback in markets, or at least a consolidation, is not out of, you know, not out of the woods, right? Now, I've said this before, liquidity remains generally a tailwind to markets and asset prices. And part of that is the dollar weakness. Part of it is we're going to go into an easing cycle from the Fed, and other central banks are easing as well. So all of that, remember, money is fungible. So if money is created around the world, that can be transitioned into another currency. And ultimately, that is helping asset prices more generally. I continue to think that 2026 is probably the more worrying time in markets. But right now, I think you want to be generally bullish probably through year end. And every day we receive questions from the comments section of the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Here's one that came in earlier. Oliver Flanagan says, "Hi guys, listen from the UK here. Love the show. Is there any chance you could review a stock named Oklo, O-K-L-O, in the SMR space?" This is interesting because I've done some more thinking about the small modular reactors. Okay. Small modular reactors, in theory, are fantastic idea. You create a design for a nuclear fission power plant that can be assembled in a factory and then shipped to wherever it is needed. And the whole idea right now is for these to be mainly used to power AI data centers, which, you know, there's a lot of investment there, a lot of money going into it. And I think over the 5-10 year time horizon, there probably will be a company that executes on this, and there's enough money behind it, and they actually put some of these in place. But it's all conceptual. It's all conceptual. And that's my problem with it, is that, A, you don't know what technology is going to win out. You know, which one will have be the most cost effective, the safest. And that's another issue with it is, you know, think of a giant nuclear plant that needs some sort of environmental regulation around it, right? Because you don't want meltdowns, obviously. How does that translate to where these small modular reactors are going to be deployed? Without a lot of safety history, or no safety history, right? At least large nuclear plants, you can see the design that maybe have been in place for a number of years in the history and the safety history, which has, if you actually look at the nuclear industry, it's very safe. You know, they're outside of, you know, Chernobyl, pretty much everything else, Fukushima as well, but Fukushima was, you know, more minor than I think people realize. But the bottom line here is that I still think nuclear renaissance is here. But I think the small modular reactor area is a bit overhyped, simply because it's still conceptual. And until there is a real one put in place to power an AI data center or whatever, I'm not going to get too excited about it. I think it's all speculation, and the chart is good on Oklo, but it's just spinning a story, losing money. And when you go through the next down cycle in liquidity, which probably starts next year at some point, this will probably go with it. So I wouldn't be buying it. It's already made a run. You missed it. Could it continue to go? Sure. Because I think there's more room to run generally until liquidity inflects. But, you know, that doesn't mean this has to continue to go up. So I just think it's poor risk versus reward over the medium and definitely long term. Thanks for the call, especially Oculus, $10 billion. market cap already. It's already kind of expensive. Now, let's briefly mention the newest KPP Premium newsletter, which will be distributed tomorrow. In the KPP Insights section, we discuss owning metals versus owning miners. In the stock section, we mention a security solutions manufacturer and an industrial manufacturing parts and solution provider. In the portfolio management section, we touch on citing which metrics to use when sorting through stocks to put on a watch list. And if you're interested in learning more, visit us at investtalk.com to subscribe. The newsletter will come to your inbox tomorrow. We are moving to a break still to come, my focus point, and more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call right now at 888-99-CHART.
Have you heard about the new InvestTalk store? That's right. You'll find great merch for the savvy investor. It's all there for you now at InvestTalkStore.com. And now Justin Klein is here and taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Now, our main focus point on today's show is about how only 36% of Americans are confident in Social Security's future. And this is a report from AARP. Okay. And the issue here is that so many people are now going to rely on Social Security in a big way for their retirement because a lot of people have not saved enough. So number one is don't be that person. Make sure you have a plan and stick to it. Be consistent. Savings habits are far more important than your investment habits. I say that all the time. Most people think that investments are going to get them rich. No. Over time, combined with consistent savings habits, yes. But on their own, you're not going to strike it rich just on the investment side. You know, you're not going to turn $10,000 into enough to sustain you for the rest of your life in retirement, right? This is about consistently saving as well as smart investing. But that first part is job number one. Okay, so remember that. Don't rely on Social Security because the program's trustees recently released a report on their finances and it wasn't exactly encouraging. So here are the numbers. Basically, there's enough money until 2034. Okay. That's all the money in the combined Social Security trust funds. Expected to run out in 2034. Now, that's less than a decade away, right? But at that time, it's not like Social Security goes away. 81% of the benefits will still be paid out after the trust fund is exhausted. That's still 81%. It's a lot. And that's what is projected. None of this is set in stone, okay? Obviously, lawmakers, they could pass changes to Social Security. They can means test it. They can move the Social Security retirement age. They can take tax dollars. They can up the amount that is paid into Social Security from each worker. I think that's probably what will happen. Right? Because today, there's a cap. After a certain dollar amount, I forget the exact number, it's 130-something thousand in earnings, you no longer pay into Social Security. Into that trust fund. Well, that's what after the trust fund is exhausted, that's what we'll pay for benefits. So they could easily just raise that cap and they'll get more money pushed into Social Security. Now it'll cost you and I, but that's an easy fix as well. I would say easy fix. It's a fix. It would be politically tenable. Who knows? So it's important to understand that there's a political aspect to this, not just raw numbers, because this is a government-sponsored program. And neither side of the aisle wants to change it, wants to cut it. I think eventually there will be changes, but those changes are very unknown. And also the labor force. What happens with the labor force over the next decade? Does it grow? Does it shrink? That'll be a big factor as well. So it's too soon to know what is exactly in store for Social Security, but what you should do is improve your financial outlook. Like I said, your savings habits. There's a great saying. My fiance, she's a doctor, and this is what doctors say in the operating room. When things go wrong, things can go wrong in the operating room, and you can dwell on it, or you can move on. And she says, so what, now what? Okay. So same thing here. Same thing with anything financial. So what, now what? What do? Do you sit and dwell about Social Security? No. You make changes. You account for, your benefits might be cut 20%. And you have to consider that when planning. Now let's go take a live call. Richard from the Bay Area looking at MPAA.
Yeah, hi, Justin. Thanks for taking my call. And I just want to make sure it's M as in Mary.
Okay. Are you talking about motor cars, parts of America?
Yeah, that's the one. I found it by a stock screener, and the numbers looked good. Mm-hmm. And I want to diversify out of chip stocks.
Interesting. This is a small name, $200 million market cap, with a free cash flow of about $41 million. That is a very strong free cash flow yield. Now, historically, their free cash flow has ebbed and flowed. It's been up and down. But earnings are supposed to go to an all-time high of $2.48 next year. No dividend. Minimal debt. They actually have a decent amount of debt. Now look at it. So I worry a bit about that. No dividend. I do think it's cheap. I think they need to pay it on their debt, though. I like the chart, but it's very high risk because it's so small. But I do think it is cheap, and the chart is solid. So I'd go for it, but make sure it's a small percentage of your portfolio. Now we're heading to a break. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
You know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, and three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. Maybe you should make the switch to Mint Mobile. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So, while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. I like Mint Mobile, and I think you will too. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer and your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/investtalk. That's mintmobile.com/investtalk. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
No matter what our day looks like, I think we can agree that we all need nourishment that fuels us, right? So let me tell you about Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes. I'm really liking them. And bonus surprise, the Kachava Shakes come in 5 delicious flavors. Chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai. Variety is a good thing. And it's easy to incorporate Kachava's Whole Body Meal Shakes into my daily routine. I like to personalize my Kachava by adding nice touches like frozen blueberries, almond milk, creatine. For me, the idea is to mix it up while keeping my body and mind nourished all day. In fact, Kachava is a whole body meal with plant-based protein that actually tastes delicious. In those five indulgent flavors I mentioned, you get 25 grams of 100% plant-based protein with every two scoops of cachava. You get 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Cachava is non-GMO. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or sweeteners. There's no soy, no animal products, no gluten, and no preservatives. You can even try cachava risk-free with their Love It guarantee. Fuel your day with cachava. Go to cachava.com and use code INVEST for 15% off your next order. That's cachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code INVEST for 15% off.
The weekend is here, or almost here, but you've got finance and investment questions, so step up and call in. Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Pete from Staten Island, New York. Over the last few months, I've seen my portfolio kind of go up by like 75%. So I'm sitting on a lot of profits right now. And over the last few weeks, I've been taking a lot of chips off the table. And I just started looking and I realized that I'm sitting on like 30% cash in my portfolio. I was wondering what you guys do in a situation like this where the market's a little bit frothy. Equities are soaring. You're taking profits, but are you guys directly investing them like right away, or are you playing like the long game and just kind of waiting and being patient? My gut is telling me to wait and be patient, but I also don't like sitting on that 30% cash because it obviously could be growing as well. So this is more of like a portfolio question. How do you guys rebalance in a time like this? I appreciate it, and I'll look forward to hearing your answer on the podcast.
This is a great question, and very interesting one, because cash in and of itself in an account isn't siloed. It's also, you have to take the rest of the account into consideration as well. So you said that you're up 75% of the year. Obviously, you only get that type of performance if you're investing in aggressive positions, speculative positions. So you might have 30% cash, but that 70% might be in very aggressive speculative stocks, right? Small modular reactors and, you know, chip names and AI names and names that, as we saw in 2022, can go down a lot. So your overall portfolio still might be risky even with 30% cash, right? So a lot does depend on what the rest of the portfolio is doing. Now, you're right. There's some frothiness in the market, but that doesn't mean you can't continue to go up. It might be a little harder because we're overbought, right? There's not a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. There's a lot of leverage with margin loans, etc. So, and there's a lot of speculation within the options market, a lot of call option activity. So that's the market that we are in right now. And is it good risk versus reward over the medium term? Probably not. But yes, you could be missing out. But if you put that money to work in companies that overbought, that are overpriced, and then suddenly liquidity inflects, are you going to be getting out in time? Right? So I would be looking to take that cash and find other opportunities in the market, broaden out your portfolio beyond just highly speculative names. Because there are other opportunities out there like that, right? Whether that's precious metals, you know, I have to look at the rest of the portfolio and say, okay, you can use this cash elsewhere. Maybe it's utility companies. Maybe it's industrial names. Where are you underweight? And that's where I'd be going to look for opportunities. So it's hard to be blanket and say you use the cash, you don't use the cash. A lot of it depends on what type of risk you're taking, what opportunities maybe you're not exposed to in your portfolio. And that could, there still could still be places to deploy that capital. Because there always is. There are always good opportunities in the marketplace. Sometimes they're very abundant and other times not so much. So hopefully that gave you some context, way to think about whether you should deploy the cash and where you should do it. Thanks for the question. Love that question. Now, on Fridays, we generally like to make some time to fit in a quick rundown of some key benchmark numbers. So let me hit on that right now. The two-year yield, 3.76%. Last week, 3.71%. So a bit of an increase in the two-year yield. After, remember, we had that big drop in yields on the short end after the jobs number on Friday. And so we've kind of clawed that back, even though we had a relatively poor services PMI index on Tuesday. The positive equity markets really was taken, took the wind out of the sails in the bond market. The 10-year yield, 4.287%. And that is up from last week's 4.226%. So about 5.5 basis points there. And then let's see what else. Gold. Gold was at $33.94 an ounce, up $46 from the previous week. So nice 1% or so gain on the gold price. Silver, $38.33 per ounce, up $1.45 compared to last week. So nice little move on silver as well. Oil settling at $36.73, down $3.73 per barrel on what seems to be more supply coming out of OPEC. National average for gasoline, $3.15, flat from last week. Here in California, though, prices did tick up 1 cent to $4.49. For comparison, in Illinois, gas is averaging only $3.40 per gallon. Okay, so that was a quick rundown of some major market numbers as we close the week. Let's talk a little bit about forecasts. Every January, you have analysts and experts trying to handicap what will happen to markets, S&P, 10-year treasury, commodity prices, etc. And we do it the same, right? And forecasting is as old as time. There's records in ancient Mesopotamia that talks about predicting commodity prices, for example. And pundits continue to push out forecasts using things like the Hindenburg omen or Death Cross and things that sound ominous. And often they're very wrong. But the question is, why are they wrong? Well, studies show that most analysts are either too conservative or too extreme. The conservative ones are there because they don't want to get fired. They don't want to miss the pack too dramatically. So they don't really deviate from the average very much. But if you do, you might as well go big, right? And if you turn out to be right, you could be flagged as somebody that called the crash, right? Or called the turn in the market when things are going bad, right? And if you're wrong, most people forget about it. And in the era of social media, it's those that are making the grandiose predictions that get the most pub. So there's even more incentive to break from the average and call for major changes. When the reality is, especially over the short term, status quo is the name of the game. Now, you can go back to the financial crisis, and you have economists like Noel Rubini. He tends to be kind of gloomy, and he called the financial crisis. But he's also been gloomy since then, and obviously assets have recovered. Now, why is that? Why are analysts wrong? Put simply, they infuse bias into their predictions. They have models, but a lot of times they don't listen to those models. So they defeat themselves by getting too cute. And they're human at the end of the day. And just like the average person, they're prone to extrapolate the recent trends. So if a certain asset class, a certain stock is doing well, they think it will continue. It will color their opinion of that asset class. Even if they don't really agree with why it moved, it will change. It will move their position. If they're bearish on a stock and or an industry and that stock or industry is doing well, well, they might temper their bearishness. But the reality is, more often than not, that they're actually correct. But they're letting the markets push their position around. Right? I look at Oklo as a good example that I called earlier. I truly believe that nuclear is in a renaissance, but it doesn't blanket the whole industry. And, you know, while Oklo is going up right now, it's not going to change my view that until I see some concrete on the ground working, that's just a speculative name and it'll probably roll over when the liquidity cycle inflects. That's my view. And it can be hard for the average person to see the stock go up and keep that view. So a lot of these people are whipsawed, right? These analysts are whipsawed around and they're a prisoner of the moment. The bottom line. Now, how accurate are forecasters? Well, studies show that in the shorter term, they're actually pretty good. Which makes sense. The trend is your friend. And there's no knowing exactly when that trend will change. Right now, the trend is up. Right? So it's easy for me to say, well, stocks are going to go up over the next 3-6 months. That tends to be how it works. But over a year, you go a year out, well, anything can happen. And the farther you go out into that next year, the odds of a trend change in the broader market or that asset class or that company, the odds of that trend change go up. So what you have to understand is that there's a lot of uncertainty in markets and you have to embrace that. Don't think you're going to get it right. Understand that. Look at multiple sources. I say that all the time, right? That you don't want to look at what I say and think it's gospel. It should not be. I am wrong, just like everybody else in my industry is wrong from time to time, regularly. But if you take a lot of experts and you get a smattering of opinions and one says the S&P is going to be up 6% and the other is 10 and the other is 14 and the other is 12, well, odds are good that it's going to be somewhere in there. And then you can know kind of generally what to expect. So how do you know about the future? Well, you can extrapolate long periods of the past. You can know what an asset class is generally going to return based on past performance and current valuation. For example, bonds. How do you know what bonds are going to return? Well, bonds generally return what the current yield is on those bonds. Right? You buy a smattering of corporate bonds with an average yield to maturity of 6%. You might get a few defaults, but if you're diversified enough, you're generally going to get 6%. That's how bonds work. Equities work a bit different, but over long periods of time, those fundamentals play out. So take these predictions with a grain of salt, but know that they do have value. Just don't think they're gospel. Let's keep things moving. Here comes another fresh listener question from 888-99-CHART.
Hello there, Justin and Luke. This is Matt from Minneapolis. Long, long time listener to the show. Love what you guys do. Thank you very much. Hey, I have a quick question. Hopefully you could help me with, please. looking to always diversify my portfolio, and growth seems to be doing great. But yet I hear some people on TV, I guess, even from what I'm reading, that value is still good to have in the portfolio right now. I know you guys like value stocks and so forth. What do you think of the fund VTV to add to one's portfolio right now? Sometimes I don't have enough time to do a lot of searching and find individual ones, so I'm considering maybe adding that to my portfolio. Would that be a positive thumbs-up move or a down negative move? Thanks. I'll look forward to hearing your answer on the show.
All right, look at the Vanguard Value ETF, and you're correct. We tend to lean towards the value side with our equity exposure for our clients, but we always have some growth names as well. So you want to not all lean on one side or the other of what we call the Morningstar style box, but having over long-term value does tend to outperform, although you're right, so far this year, growth has done better. Now, VTV is the Vanguard Value ETF, large cap value fund. It's a good fund, good performance compared to its peers, so understand that. And it leans on things like financial services, 25% of the fund, industrials, 13. Technology is only 10 versus the S&P pushing into the mid-30s, high 30s as a percent of the S&P. I'm trying to remember, it always changes. But that's the kind of exposure you're getting, consumer defensive, the staples, technology, industrials, and financials. Everything else, healthcare as well, 15%. Everything else is single digits in exposure. This gets 4 to 5 stars on Morningstar, relatively low expense ratio. The big question, though, is what does the rest of your portfolio look like? Are you getting overlap, right? The top holdings are names like JP Morgan, Berkshire Hathaway, Exxon, Walmart, Procter & Gamble, Oracle, etc. How many of those names do you have in your portfolio? What's the overlap? So it's a good fund, but understand what type of exposure you currently have, and is this making it more balanced or more concentrated? And I would think about that consideration as well. Now we're moving into a break. I'm ready to take your calls now at 888-99-CHART.
Rolls on, and you've got finance and investment questions for Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. Call InvestTalk 888-99-CHART.
Let's go with another YouTube comment question. And Matthias Boo says, "Hi, InvestTalk. I'm currently holding LLY. I'm up 56%. Is now a good time to sell, or should I continue holding? Do you expect more volatility in the name?" All right. I'm not sure. Let's see. This was today. So he's up a lot, but Eli is down a lot, down to $625 down the last couple of days. Let me take a look here. This has been in a downtrend, and this is a good example. This is a great lesson. Okay. There's all the hype about GLP-1s and all these companies are going to make a ton of money. And to be fair, their earnings went from $7.94 in 2022 to $6.32 in 2023, so down 20%. Then last year up to $12.99, up over 100%. And then earnings this year expected to be $22.38. But the stock had discounted that in a big, big way. It's been rallying from a low in 2019, $117, and its recent high, nearly $1,000, $972 per share. Now it's down 35% from its high, and it's still trading at 40 times earnings, but based on forward-looking earnings, closer to 20. And this is the risk of buying names that already are hyped and it's priced in. Now, the good news for you, at least, is you're up still. And the question is it still a good value? Will they make $30.19 next year? That's the estimate. Obviously, the earnings were not great. But the question is, where is major support? I don't think there's major support until about $470 per share. So there's still plenty of downside to go. But this is a hard name to handicap because GLP-1s, there's competitors. How much are people willing to pay? How much are governments going to pay? The big prediction was that governments were going to start paying for this because it would solve a lot of medical issues for citizens around the world. I think that sentiment's fading. And I would be out of this just mainly because of the trends. It's now in a downtrend. The path of least resistance is lower. At some point, I think you pick this up and it's a good value. But my guess is it's probably a couple hundred dollars lower. Okay. Thanks for the question. Now, from time to time, we receive questions from submissions on the Invest Talk website. Doyle Thompson says, what is your opinion on SHYG, the 0 to 5 year high yield corporate bond ETF? I've held it for about 5 years and it is down 5% since purchased. It's about 12% of my overall portfolio. I'm thinking that it will come back some if the Fed drops rates over the next 6 months. And at that time, I'll be looking to reduce my holdings. This is a great question and a very interesting one. So what he's looking at is SHYG. And he's saying, I'm down on the name. Well, he might be down in price, but he's not down in return. Okay? Because this is a high-yield corporate bond ETF. You're getting income. Okay? This year, it's up 5% year-to-date. This is total return. Okay? Total return. Last 1 year, it's up 8.7%. Last 3 years, it's averaged 7.5%. Over the last 5 years, it's averaged 5.5%. So if you've held it for 5 years, your total return is 5.5%, including the 12% loss. So you're getting, you know, your coupon or dividend out of this is over 5.5% because you've, on the principal, you're down 12%. So that's what you're down. You're down 12%. And this is a perfect example of an average investor's mentality, which is, oh, I need to get back to even. But you're not, you're up. You've returned 5.5% per year over the last 5 years in total. You're not down. It might look like you're down. It might say you have a loss. And remember, this is short-term bonds. So even if the Fed cuts rates, it's not going to rally that much. It's not going to rally 12% because it's low duration. So understand what you own. If you don't want to own it anymore, you have better uses for that money, then sell it. Who cares if you're down 12%? Your total return is 5.5% annually for the last 5 years. So don't have that mentality of, I need to break even. It's a terrible mentality to have. I'm Justin Klein, and if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investments, your taxes, your retirement planning, whether you need a trust or a will, whether your strategy works in this economic environment, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review with myself or Luke. No costs, and it will help bring clarity and confidence to your plan. And we thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.